Now you can feel all the tension building up at the convention as the hustlers began to arrive. Must have been 9,000 or more that came to the door. The time was 11:55.
Yo, now we gonna let y'all know who got all the hustlers.
Let me go back to the BBC story again. Cuba, Cuba, Cuba. Raul Castro trying to manage this thing after his brother is not that easy. He got a hard job to do. But again, the Chinese style of land reform, much better, much more successful than the Soviet style.
Cuba is opening up to market forces and redistributing land. It's the biggest development of its kind since Fidel Castro's revolution in 1959. His brother, President Raul, has begun leasing millions of acres of unused state land to private farmers. The hope is to increase food production and reduce imports. The BBC's Michael Voss reports now from the central province of Camagüey.
Fresh lettuce at the height of summer is a rarity in Cuba, but this small family farm is working hard to meet demand. It's part of a cooperative made up of individual smallholders who club together for credit and supplies. Private farmers own less than a third of the land, but produce almost three-quarters of the island's food. In the past, this private sector was tolerated. Now it's being actively encouraged.
There's been an enormous difference in the last 2 years. They're paying a lot more attention to us. They've helped with irrigation as well as offering more land. Now we earn more money because we're selling more food.
Jorge Alcides is a new member of the cooperative. His family farm has a mix of dairy, cattle and crops, all of it on disused land which 2 years ago belonged to a state farm. It's part of an extra 120 hectares which the co-op has acquired, all of it though in need of attention. Cuba's large state-run collective farms have allowed vast tracts of our land to go to waste, much of it covered by a dense weed called marabou. It's like a jungle in here. Once the marabou takes hold, nothing else will grow and the cattle can't graze. And it's a nightmare to get rid of. So far, 80,000 Cubans have been given tracts of land to clear, the first phase of a 2 million hectare transfer. The state is also starting to help with access to fuel, tractors and bulldozers. But much of the work must still be done by hand. It's one reason why the authorities have turned to private farmers to take on the task.
Now I'm happy working. It's different when you do it for yourself rather than being paid a wage.
When Raul Castro took over the presidency from his brother Fidel, there was speculation that he might introduce Chinese-style market reforms. These changes in agriculture, though, are his only major move so far. But the more that private farmers are seen to be boosting their earnings by increasing production, the greater the pressure for similar changes to the rest of the economy as well. Michael Voss, BBC News, Camagüey Province, Cuba.
Okay, there's a comment. I'm going to catch up on your comments. Many of you all had feedback on Shark Tank. Joseph from Brooklyn. By the way, I think Joseph made a comment last week about Governor Patterson. I didn't get a chance to read. But Joseph from Brooklyn, he says, "Peace, Cedric. I'm checking in late, coming back from a meeting with a SCORE counselor. Yes, indeed. I'm in the middle stages of getting my business up and running. My IQ in business and economics has grown thanks to programs like this. Keep up the good work." Question. Do you think that our current system of capitalism will be replaced anytime soon? And if it is, what will fill the vacuum that's left? Well, Jude, Wanniski, who I was reading his book earlier, The Way the World Works, he framed it in his epilogue. Maybe I'll read that before I get out of here today. He said that the ultimate question for the next century was whose economic system would be able to balance the competing forces of wealth redistribution and economic growth. Now, I told Jude in a conversation that we had by phone that I believed it was the Islamic economic model. So then he and I had a conversation about debt and equity and how much planning was involved in an Islamic economy. He wasn't sold that it was the Islamic model. I'm absolutely sold, partly because the Islamic model deals with the question of money in a way that fixes the value of a currency. Even though Karl Marx said that money was the gold, was the money par excellence, and that it should be fixed, the students of Karl Marx never listened to what he said about gold. In the Islamic model, based upon one of the definitions of interest, the Quran, and what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said gold for gold and silver for silver, but only if it is like for like. Gold for gold and silver for silver, but only if it is like for like. That ends currency fluctuations. So the Islamic economic model starts with a stable currency, which you have to have if you're going to build an economy around. You can't have a medium of exchange that changes value. It's like a yardstick that would change the inch level or the centimeter level each day. You could never plan or build if your yardstick and metric system kept changing. It's the same with money. So the Islamic model takes care of that. The other thing that the Islamic model does, in my view, it balances individual striving with collective responsibility. So charity and individual striving are balanced in Islam, in my view. I think most Muslims probably put more emphasis on charity than they do on individual striving. But they're both in the book. You have to bring balance to it. That's my two cents. Now, I think that is what will replace what you're referring to as capitalism. But markets are not capitalism, in my view. The use of money is not capitalism, in my view. The use of property rights, whether the property rights are individual or collective, held by a tribe, that is not capitalism. I think we have equated economic development, which is universal in principle, with capitalism as it's known by the West, practiced since the transatlantic slave trade in particular. Okay, a lot of ground to cover. Hour number four, I want to talk about the human being that I believe balanced individual interest in his teachings and collective solidarity. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, today, the recognized birthday. Talk a little bit about his economic blueprint, but more so what he is teaching us about what Islam really is. Most of you all think Islam is some ritualistic religion, but you all are Muslims in very natural ways. So are the creatures and the heavenly bodies. So we'll talk about that as that relates to your concept of heaven and hell, and why some of us are so lazy, so afraid to take risks, waiting on somebody to tell us it's okay to pursue your individual self-interest. It's the hottest show in the diaspora. You tell me another one better. I'm a little bit over. Some of you all, yeah, I was 2 minutes late. I'm on time. I was 2 minutes late to my own show today. I'm just catching up. So hold on. I'm gonna replay the hour number one show intro. I may be the only person to ever combine the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Wu. This sets up my subject matter very well.
You are tuned in to the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Some may say, where are we going? You don't need to go no place. Hell is made by the people and not by the nature of our reactions, reactionary urge. No, we makes the hell. And we makes the heaven. What is hell? It's a place of where that people is disagreeable to live with in peace. Heaven is a peaceful place where people like they would like to live for themselves. That is in peace. Every man would like to enjoy peace, though he breaks the peace and cause discontent and community. But now he would like for himself a contented place. We want to see about all of that, my God and myself. Some of them say, I want to go to heaven. You make heaven where you are. There's no such a thing as a certain place that we call heaven, only that place where man makes a peace for himself. And the good of the great abundance of nature pouring down to him his wants.
Cedric Muhammad.
Yo. Side of tight, it's 94. We must go four fast. And in the past, goddamn. Sound like go rest on Pathfinder.
Cedric Muhammad.
Tank lines, lamps, all the nine squares.
You are listening to the hottest show in the diaspora. The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Waking up about 10 kids, jumping in the shower, he's about to make moves to slide like grease. What I'm all about, sex, with no respect in front, slamming your life with legs. So
Muhammad.
Now I'm out in the night, while rocking that grill, and you don't die, that's down. Cross canine, but show I'm making a pit stop. Going by your box of Glocks, he roll up, make a quit up.
Cedric Muhammad.
Remember that kid that we picked, he made a half a meal, for real, he brought about gold bricks. Yeah, so now we connect doors. Meet me at the airport. Tell Golden Arms maintain a fort. Get in touch with that West Coast Cali crab staff. And meet me at the empty slab. So word up, yeah, we slid like a fat for the 12-bit disc. Couldn't even rest, I need the fix. And when I slept, my dream deep. Son, I need some. Please call self, call up son. I heard Hootie Tyreek bought a beef over some real. It's fake, but it's fake, then they killed this click. Give me your minute and I'm winning. Yo, see it or did it. Rock your vest, keep your whip tinted. So now we see him up in Bojangles, strangling a 40 ounce with 10 G's worth of gold bangles.
You are
diamonds,
to
what
watch man. Space
with his man's mate, but dad is a center plate show. He knew we knew him, so we blew him. Took 30 G's worth of jewels off that. Again, threw him. So now I'm lamping in my man's land. She's just hot like sand. Jesus rolling in my right hand. Yeah, you know the sneez old black. Gotta go down like that. Salon cigars and ball hats.
Cedric Muhammad.
94, taking against the war. Yeah, yeah, what do you believe in? Heaven or hell? You don't believe in heaven because we're living in hell. What do you believe in? Heaven or hell? You don't believe in heaven because we're living in hell. So what's your life?
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Over with mad strangers. Yeah, you know how it runs, baby. Straight up, yo. Money clothes, the dollar holes and shows, y'all. That's how it goes. Whatever, what do you believe in? Heaven or hell?
Come on, you man. I want to go to heaven. You make heaven where you are. There's no such a thing as a certain place that we call heaven, only that place where man makes a peace for himself. And the good of the great abundance of nature pouring down to him his wants.
October 7, 2009, the recognized birthday of the man with that voice that you just heard. the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, we've done other shows where we have gotten into the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and a lot of people, rightfully so, are intrigued, have great admiration for that model, lift it up. But I think that in some respect, a focus on the material aspects of the economic development of the Nation of Islam historically too often separates it from or obscures it from a spiritual underpinning, which to me is the root of why he is so successful and why what Minister Farrakhan is doing, while you may not think it's a form of economic development in a collective nationalist sense, I will make the case that Minister Farrakhan has probably helped to produce more entrepreneurs than any other human being or black person in America. If you understand the side of the resurrection work that he is working on, first and foremost, it's more spiritual in an individual way. Both teach spiritual civilization, both work on the individual, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave you a more upfront, visible, material, national, economic development picture. The minister is bringing out more, in my view, of the spiritual underpinning of what made that possible, as well as the fact that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did a lot of that by sheer force, sheer willpower, basically himself. So in my book, Volume 3 of The Entrepreneurial Secret, I spend a lot of time with the study guides of Minister Farrakhan, which are called, if I'm saying it right, Self-Improvement, the Basis for Community Development, or the Basis of, I think it's the Basis for. I'm sure all the Muslim fact checkers will chop me up right now. But the study guides of, there's a relationship between the study guides of Minister Farrakhan and the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I said that over and over again. There's something that I want to do, though, to go into that properly. I can't do that now. It's something I would need to be more qualified. I've yet to do that, which I intend to do. This is a big subject, and I don't care if you're in the Nation of Islam, or you're Muslim, or you're not. Your concept of who and what God is, or how powerful or not the human being is, your belief system and your ideology, your concept of a heaven and hell, the worst form of life and the best form of life, affect your attitude, your behavior, your ability to take risks, your concepts of individual success and excellence, and effective group activity. There are many people who have the individual self-interest piece down. They are woefully inadequate on how to tie that into a form of community development. Trust is a form of wealth. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that among us there was too much distrust in economic matters. There's a certain form of wealth or scale of wealth you can't reach unless and until you have trust at a high level. Trust is a form of wealth. So Joseph from Brooklyn asked the question to me of whether I felt, or maybe I put the camera on me. Joseph from Brooklyn. Oh, Joseph, did I tell you my parents met in Brooklyn? I'm going to go into this publicly. My parents met in Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Never miss a moment to shout out Brooklyn. Stetsasonic did it. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, so Joseph from Brooklyn asked me, did I think that this system of capitalism was dying? And I said, yes. The next economic system that will replace capitalism, or if you think capitalism can be reformed, it'll only be because of a greater existence of trust. Trust is a form of wealth. This is why you are out of your mind if you condemn gangs, if you condemn tribes, if you condemn ethnic groups, races, and religions that revolve around group solidarity and economics, because they do what they do based upon trust. in my book, in volume one, and in some of the work I'm doing with the African Union, I talk about how the greatest amount of trust in economic circles exists among kinship systems, what I just mentioned, gang, ethnicity, race, tribe, religion. So be careful about looking down on native, quote-unquote Native American tribes. Be careful of looking down on Bloods and Crips, AKAs, DST. Wow, I love all of you. Or the church. These are all institutions. Even you all that smoke weed and drink alcohol in a group setting, you have the basis of economic development if you just stop smoking and drinking. So to me, in trying to clean us up, in trying to transform human life, in trying to develop the individual, improve the self, what Minister Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are working on is the basis of a new economy. Once you get the people right and you can establish them as trustworthy, then you don't need collateral. You don't need credit. You don't need bank scores. And the reason why this matters is because in a system that we're at now, Western economic development, everything is based upon anonymous, impersonal, infrequent contact. So you have to deal with people you don't know because of population size, because of technology. So there are a lot of efficiencies in using a credit score. There's a lot of efficiencies in loaning people money based upon a security rather than what they, the actual viability of the business. But you see what happened last year. There are excesses when people don't have contact, when morality and ethics are not inculcated in the system. So self-improvement really is the basis for community development. And people who have people who say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did more, is doing things that Minister Farrakhan has not done, they really don't understand, one, it's a continuation, and two, the void that existed in our community after COINTELPRO, and that if you look at the minister's influence, he has probably been the most significant Black American in terms of inspiring entrepreneurship. I wrote about this in 2003. You have to really be honest. What has been the impact of the word? Not rhetoric, but the actual word. Have people wanted to do for themselves? Have they left jobs, started businesses? Have they started investment clubs because of what Minister Farrakhan has taught? Yes, I know it for a fact. Now, that's a kind of a hard thing to quantify. But if somebody would actually write that book, then maybe, you know, there'd be a way to end the debate. It's the same with the influence of Islam, the 5% Nation of Islam, the Nation of Islam on hip hop. I mean, you are out of your mind if you think that that's not real. But it hasn't been really quantified, so people can play games and write the 5%ers out of hip hop history. They can write the nation. They can write the minister out of hip hop history. Okay, so October 7th. Now, you can go to NOI.org. They have a biographical sketch on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I did not want to get into going through how many acres of farmland was owned. I didn't want to get into the, what some people call the business empire, because to me, the most valuable thing that he is teaching us and taught back then was how to make a person more powerful, how to work on their self-concept. Because I'll tell you, you can teach somebody business acumen, you can give them job skills, job training skills, you can even give them life skills, but if they look at themselves as nothing, their negative self-concept will not allow them to live up to an identity that's worthy of the skill set that you're trying to give them. If you talk to anybody that's in a quote-unquote works with gang members, I call them street organizations, they will tell you, you can give a young sister or young brother all the job skills all you want, interviews, how to conduct yourself, but until you give them life skills, like how to wake up on time, the importance of punctuality, they may be good at typing, they may eventually become good at running a machine, a tractor, driving a truck, but the character and the personality that they need to survive consistently and reliably is not there. It's like pouring water into a glass that's got a hole in it. Well, that's why a lot of us ain't doing nothing right now. There's a hole in the bottom of our glass. I said that right. So let me get into the question of what Islam is and what it isn't. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to put a picture up. I'm gonna spend a few more minutes on this. Marcus Garvey, I want to touch on, maybe someone will remind me. There's something about Marcus Garvey and what he was able to do in Harlem and how it related to the West Indian community that I want to make clear, okay? There's a picture of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad there. Okay, now, let me show you how universal Islam is, because a lot of people want to make divisions. I'm pulling out the book Closing the Gap, which we have talked about before, interviews of the heart, mind, and soul of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and they were conducted and compiled by Brother Jibril Muhammad. Let me read what Brother Jibril writes. This is on page 311 for those of you that have Closing the Gap. You want to go a little deeper into this. He says, the following quotes are words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Theology of Time lecture, June 11th, 1972. That's part of what you heard me play, but I'll give you the date later of the audio that I played where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is talking about heaven and hell. He says, if the religion of Islam takes for its base the root meaning of the universe for its religion, then I say you have an awful job trying to tangle with that type of people. They'll have you running around looking for something to prove what you say. And this is the one I quoted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as saying, a religion whose origin or roots cannot be found in the universal order of God's creation cannot be said to be the religion of God. Now, this is before I don't, you know, you may have noticed I don't get into arguments about religion because most of them are ignorant and they're kind of like cat fights more than they are really dialogue or discussion. There's some that say Islam's not a religion. It's law. Others say it's mathematical theology. It really is all of those. But the point that I think is important in what I just read is, can you prove that your religion is found in the universal order? Now, to all the Muslims and non-Muslims, Surah 67, verse 3. Heavy, heavy, heavy verse. Surah 67, verse 3. If you want to go deep into this. Okay? Yeah, and somebody made a point. There's a difference between Islamic economic model based on the Quran and Islamic economic model as it's practiced in certain countries that are confused about Islam. Big difference. If your religion's roots are not found in the universal order of things, it is not from Allah God. Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, Almighty Allah has taught me that if we study the universe and the nature of the earth, its planets, animals, and insect life, if we study this part of Allah's creation and the natural laws working among them, we will have the key to understanding, to the understanding of the way of life intended by God for you and me. This is the language of a scientist. Now, I'm reading from Closing the Gap, but these are quotes from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
The most eclectic audience on radio, only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
A lot of you all out there, you people financing rap concerts and celebrity parties, you too are a securitized gangster.